is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Glenda could certainly see my father in me. So he says, imitate God. The idea is people should see your father in you. If you're a Christian, people should see the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, reflected in the way you act, the attitude you have, the way you say things, why you say things, the motive of your heart. There are some things we do that are good, but the motive is not good. All of those things are how we walk in love. Jesus was the exact representation of God.
It's been said that the only Bible some people may read is your life lived out before them. We're commanded to imitate God as dear children and to always do good so that when men see our works, they will glorify our Father in heaven. Pastor Troy will be reminding us that we haven't been left here on this earth to simply live for ourselves. We've been given a great commission to preach the gospel and to make disciples. The only way we can do that is by reflecting the one we're preaching by our deeds. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
The outline of Ephesians, just so we can get our perspective again, because we need to be on the same page here, is the wealth and then the walk and the warfare of the believer. We started off with the wealth, how rich we are, how much Christ has done, how valuable you are in Christ. These things are laid out so that we understand. We don't have to have the world fulfill us. We don't have to have the riches of the world. We don't need all of these other things because we have the wealth of Christ, which enables us to walk. And that's the portion of scripture that we're in Ephesians now, is the walk of the believer. Later on, we talk about the warfare, because there will be warfare. There will be battles. If you're going to try to walk the way Christ wants you to walk, there will be some serious battles. But we're in the midst of a walk. Now, God is love. Scripture says that clearly. So here we read we should walk in love. We read in Corinthians what love means. And so you can go over chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians and see all those things that love is. It'd be great to review. But we're to walk in love. Later in this chapter, we see that there's more added to it, that God is light also. We're supposed to walk in light. God is truth. His word is truth. And so we've got to walk according to truth, or we'll learn walk in wisdom. But today, a very important subject, walking in love. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life, but he said he laid down his life while we were still enemies. He didn't call us just to lay down life for our friends, but to lay down our life like Christ did. So that the world may know that there's a God in heaven. At the Passover, he washed his disciples' feet so that they would see a demonstration of serving one another. They are fighting each other for who was more important, who was most significant, who had the greater place. And so he washed their feet and he said, look, you guys, stop all that nonsense and wash each other's feet. Serve each other. Do the same thing that I've done. Now, with that in mind, Paul writes in verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The first thing that I want to talk about is walking in love is worship. It's a sacrifice. It says, be imitators of God. And it's been said that imitation is the highest form of flattery. You know, parents love it when their children walk like them or wear their shoes or want to be like them. You know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. When someone goes up and wants to do like you or be like you, or when we do that to others, it's the highest form of flattery. And he says, be imitators of God as dear children. You know, children are not their parents. They're not them. But it's amazing how they take all of their cues, or so many of their cues, from their parents. How to make a certain decision, certain phrases. You talk to a little boy or a little girl, and they say some adult kind of phrase. You're like, oh, so cute. Where did they get that? Well, maybe that's what mom or dad says, and they get that. It just doesn't fit them at their age, but they hear mom and dad all the time, and so it's like, so cute. We are to be taking our cues from the Lord. Our eyes are to be on him. We're to learn from him what it means to love and to sacrifice and to be a Christian, because we're following after Jesus after all. When I lived in Albuquerque, I remember one day I was living with my dad and his wife, my stepmom. And I remember my dad got up, we were watching a show or something like that, and he went into the kitchen, came out a couple of minutes later and sat down. And so we're watching this show, and I get up and I walk and I go into the kitchen and I grab a graham cracker. I grab a graham cracker. I go over to the sink and I break it over the sink into the four, you know, shake it off. And then I eat it there so as not to get crumbs anywhere else. And I go to sit down. Well, Glenda started cracking up. And I'm like, you don't like the way I do my graham crackers or what? I just don't want to get stuff on the floor. She goes, no, your dad, right before you came in, grabbed a graham cracker, walked over to the sink, broke it in four, and ate them exactly like you. You guys did the exact same thing. I thought that was amazing. We didn't coordinate it. I don't know that I've actively watched my dad eat graham crackers. Like, go grab it, go to the sink. We just picked up cues, our priorities, our sense of priorities, you know, not getting crumbs on the floor. Okay, go over and break them over here. All of that fed into some things that I chose to do. I could certainly see, and Glenda could certainly see my father in me. So he says, imitate God. The idea is people should see your father in you. If you're a Christian, people should see the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, reflected in the way you act, the attitude you have, the way you say things, why you say things, the motive of your heart. There are some things we do that are good, but the motive is not good. All of those things are how we walk in love. Jesus was the exact representation of God. See, figuring out how to imitate God is very hard. You read a scripture that says God is love, and we all have so many interpretations of what that means. For some, they side on truth. That means truth. You walk in truth. You don't stick your finger in a light socket. You tell someone about it. That's truth. That's truth, and that's true. That's loving. Others say, hey, but you're not judgmental either. You can't judge. And they swing under the pendulum on the other side of tolerance, pretty much. There's the definition of tolerance. Love and tolerance should not be confused. So God is love. Walk in him. Walk in love. Imitate God. How do we know how to do that? Well, that's one of the reasons Christ came also. See, Christ came as the expression of the very nature of God. If he just had to die, he could pop in at 33, get nailed, die on the cross. But there were prophecies that needed to be fulfilled. There was a life that needed to be observed, lived. He said, I came that you may know the truth. I came to show you the way, the truth, and the life. So Christ came. That's why Jesus could say in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus took what might have been left up to interpretation. God is love. Just interpret that for yourselves. No. And he gave us the interpretation so that we would know what it looks like to imitate God and to walk in love. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Says he's the express image of his person. What that means is if God were a stamp and he made an impression, Jesus is that impression. Jesus is God, all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Anything God would do, anything God would be, if we said, how do I follow him? How do I imitate him? We look to Christ and we can see it. So, walk in love. And then Paul points to Christ. As Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. It was a sacrifice, it says, for a sweet-smelling aroma. There is sacrifice when you demonstrate love. Great sacrifice. It's an acceptable sacrifice. And think about this. We understand marriage, you take vows. In fact, the marriage is about the vows. The marriage is not about the ceremony, it's about the vows. The ceremony, if it were all gone, could still be a marriage. But without the vows, there's no marriage. When people, we're going to have some who are going to renew vows, in fact. They're not renewing their wedding cake, although they may do that. They're not renewing the dress, although that may happen, I don't know. But they're renewing their vows. Because the vow is what the wedding is. It's a promise. It's a commitment. I am going to make this promise to you. I am going to make this promise to you. We're agreeing to be committed, and our life is going to change as a result.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on building on the solid rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share on the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about building on the solid rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. With the vows comes commitment, and there's sacrifice. What you did when you were single, you don't continue to do when you're married. You change things. When you wrote a check and you went and swiped that credit card wherever you wanted to swipe it, you didn't have to tell anybody about it. Not when you're married. I don't know if that's new news for you, but if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have got married. Yeah, merging the accounts, you know, those kinds of things happen. You know, the last thing you want to do is leave an escape route in marriage. It doesn't build a lot of trust and confidence when you start in advance. Let's write some prenuptials. I love you. I'm in this, but just in case, let's write some prenuptials. Let's not merge our things. And you don't even change your last name just in case, you know, we don't have to go through all that stuff either. Like, oh, I really feel loved and committed to. No, there's sacrifice. Husbands and wives learn to sacrifice. That's how marriage works and works best. There's sacrifice whenever love is involved, and there's a commitment. Parents know it with kids. We make a sacrifice. I don't like vomit. And I would never, I'm not going to help anyone else with their kids vomit if I don't have to. But I remember getting up and going into the room. I hate vomit, but I love my kids. And I was up all night with Joshua. You hear the noise. You grab them and you throw them over in right there by the trash can because you already had to clean it up once. That's what started it all. I said, not again. We're not doing that again. So you get really quick at neither moving the trash can or the child. But you're up all night. And it's a sacrifice. And yes, at least I still thought, man, I hate vomit. I hate this. But I love my child. And I made the sacrifice. We understand that there's sacrifice in life and that love comes with sacrifice. But listen, when we come to faith in Christ, we know that Jesus made the sacrifice so that we can get to heaven. He paid for our sins. But if we want to follow him, we make sacrifice too. You know, Jesus didn't just say, just believe that I exist, guys. You'll be saved. That's not the belief he was talking about. James even clarified that. How can you say I believe and not have works, not have a life that demonstrates you believe? See, if you really believe Jesus, if you really believe in Jesus, then the words like follow me, pick up your cross, deny yourself. You can't even follow me if you don't do that. When he says those things also, we have to believe them. We have to believe the whole package. And there's salvation as we follow him, as we commit. Now, the nice thing is he is also the one who sustains us. So we walk and we get tired and we stumble and he picks us up, shakes us off, pulls us over to the vomit bin. You know, all of those things, he does it. He carries us. But there's sacrifice on our part too when we follow Christ. We give up the old ways. We give up the old things. We can do it for marriage. Should we love our spouse more than we love God? No. Scripture teaches us we should love God above all else. We can only love our spouse well and appropriately with the right amount of sacrifice if we first love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So walk in love. Paul points to Christ. And there's sacrifice when we do that. Now, the thing about walking in Christ and the sacrifice that comes as a result of walking in Christ is this. There's a sense of sacrifice for the sake of others. Not just sacrifice like, okay, I'll stop doing these things, I'll sacrifice. But now we start to consider others. Scripture says, considering others more or greater than ourselves, we begin to think outwardly towards others. What might I do? What might this do to others? In Romans chapter 14, Paul says we are free. And he mentions we're free, these are free, we can do all these things. But he talks about, and I'll give just one example, meat that had been sacrificed to idols. See, they used to take some animals and they would sacrifice them to idols and worship. And then the meat, because it wasn't slaughtered in the right house and then taken to the market straight from the slaughterhouse, but it was over here in the temple, slaughtered over here, and then brought in, it couldn't be sold for the same amount. So it was sold at a reduced price. So people were saying, hey, idols are nothing. Who cares now? Let's get the cheaper meat. But Paul said, look, God's not about saving money. He's about saving souls. And so it's actually better if instead of going, I'm free to do this, to go, what will this do to others? How will this affect others? And instead he says, and if what I'm doing, if eating meat causes me to stumble others, I just won't eat it again. Because that's the heart of it. I'm starting to consider others now. I'm not just going, I don't care about others. I'm thinking about me, what I want, what I feel, what I'm free to do. But we grow beyond that so that we end up holding our tongue when we could cut others down. Oh, you know the perfect opportunity, right? You've been there probably. Oh, this is the problem. They just set themselves up for this. Holding our tongue instead of cutting them down. Being free to drink alcohol, but then thinking, you know, now I have kids, and I understand the bounds, and I've gone through the very difficult, trying stage of experimenting with it, and I've come to the conclusion that it's not good. But they don't know that. All they know is, look, you can drink and be okay. Or for myself personally, I didn't even have kids when the Lord convicted me personally of not drinking at all. Let me make it clear. Drunkenness is a sin. If your desire is to get buzzed, that's a sin. That's a sin to drink for that. Rather have a psalm. Read the Psalms if you want to feel enlightened and lighter, even buzzed, but not booze, beer, all of that stuff. But if you're a person who you just like white wine, compliments Italian, red wine, the Italian meal, and the white wine, the fish, or vice versa, whatever you like. There's no sin in that. But it's about the motive. And then Paul goes further with it and says, but look, if the things that we do become a stumbling block for others, it's better not to do it. And as a Christian, we're constantly learning to find that line, to discern that for ourselves, the battle between I'm free to do it, but it's not really helpful. It's not needful. It's not beneficial. It's not even good. Finding that place. It's called love. Loving others. One person says, I don't do it anymore since I've had kids because I don't do it anymore because I don't want my kids to see that it's okay because I know I messed up with it. And I know they'll end up doing the same thing. And so if I'm going to preach it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live it. For me, it was because it doesn't matter if I go out and eat just me and my wife or just me, and I have a glass of wine with my food or even a beer with my food, although I don't know if that goes all that well, but just using an example. And then somebody goes to the restaurant and sees me, Pastor Troy. They don't know I only drank one. They just think I drink. And so I don't even want that hint. Sacrifice. Sacrifices that we're called to make, that God places in our hearts. And as we grow in love, we willingly make. They're not easy. That's why they're called sacrifices. We end up doing hard things in order to make it clear that God comes first in our life. We make hard decisions. Eric Liddell was in the 1924 Summer Olympics in Paris. He was registered for the 100-meter dash. They were expecting not only would he win the gold, but he would break world records. He was that fast. It was a shoo-in. The gold wasn't even, they weren't even talking about whether he was going to win the gold. The nation was excited. His teammates were excited. But then he found out when the event was to be run. The 100-meter dash was going to be run on Sunday. He was bummed. The nation said, this is bigger than you. You need to do it because you need to represent us. This is not about you. This is about something bigger, which is great. But there's something bigger than the nation, too, that he stood for. And that was God. And so he pulled out. He withdrew from the 100-meter dash. There was an opening. He was able to, another took his spot in the 100-meter dash, and he was able to fit into one of the spots available for the 400-meter run. It would be the longest dash or the shortest long-distance run, but it's totally different training.
As we learn more about the church at Ephesus in Pastor Troy's continuing study, we find that there is much to learn from the trials and struggles these early Christians endured. The guidance provided to them from the Apostle Paul still applies to our lives today. We will learn even more as we dig deeper into this letter. If you'd like to hear more from Building on the Solid Rock, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe on iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through buildingonthesolidrock.com and let us know how we can be praying for you on your continuing journey of faith. That's all the time we have for today. Join Pastor Troy on the next edition of Building on the Solid Rock for more from his verse-by-verse study through the book of Ephesians.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in